They say life in 40 ages just a state of mind.
I mean, I'm 40 now, and that's, you know, I mean, I'm 40. I'm half dead, basically. 40's a weird age.
No! Kelly Clarkson!
Frustrating, but inevitable for most people. It's middle-age spread.
Hey, Endo! This is what it is! You put one foot in front of the other, and,
Mommy, Daddy.
Today, we're gonna talk about the Fountain of Youth.
I couldn't come up with a special theme song for this week. I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm the music guy, so I should have all sorts of ideas for me being in the studio by myself. It's a very special 40-ish. Stephanie is trapped in her house by a large number of very fit people running the Ironman race in Louisville this weekend. And I was traveling on the day when we ordinarily record this, so here I am. I am very happy to say that we spend a great deal of time today analyzing the 40-something years through the eyes of somebody who I know very well and loves me dearly. My mother comes into the studio and talks about her experience when I was growing up and what her life was like when we were younger. And my wife also sits in to help me process through what Mom's saying and help just make sure that we understand everything. And it's really fun. And we have a hockey game today, so we had to cut a little bit short. I'd love to revisit this again. Maybe that's a whole other show. Dan and his mom. I don't think so. So it's kind of a different show today. We don't really get into segments, and I don't really drop any words of wisdom, at least not purposely. It just accidentally slips out of me every now and then. I'm sure you guys understand that. So I want to thank you for downloading the episode every week. We are at 40ishpodcast.com. We're in iTunes. We're in the Google Play Store. We are at Stitcher Radio. You can get the show any number of places and connect with us on Facebook at 40ish Podcast, where you can leave behind your own words of wisdom. We always appreciate that. And just stop by and say hello. We love knowing you're out there. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Let's dive into a conversation with Dan, his mom, and his wife. This should be great. I do have two very special guests today.
Aww.
And you, in dire circumstances, you call on the two ladies that you depend on which you depend the most. I have to my left my lovely bride of nearly 15 years.
Really? Really with the pause?
I have
That's
to do
coming up in a month.
I have to do the math.
Okay.
Every time I'm like, 16 minus
That's
1
what
is 15.
I do. Ages.
Wow.
Yeah, and you just heard the mellifluous tones of my mother.
Who, hi, Dad.
Yes. She is a former broadcaster, so she should be used to having a microphone in front of her talking.
It's Jazz Sunday. I think she should sing a little bit for us.
Jazz Sunday is interesting. Did I tell you about Jazz Sunday, Mom?
No.
I guess we're just going to talk about me this whole time, maybe? I don't know. Part of this...
So what else is new?
Shut up. Part of what I remember growing up is the music from around our house. And there was... I think you would find it not difficult to believe that jazz stood out as something that was around all the time. And so when we get in the car on Sunday mornings to go to church, it's Jazz Sunday. And the children can't stand it.
They can't.
They can't stand it. They're...
I think it's growing on them.
I do think it grows on them too, but it's not going away. We're going to have Jazz Sundays for as long as I have breath in my body.
Excellent.
And I quote Dad all the time when I say, "You don't have to like it, but you do have to appreciate it."
Oh,
yeah, that's a big one, right? Is that
is a word of wisdom?
I was going to say, can that apply to most things in life? Mm-hmm. So let's just do a real quick. Sweet Mrs. V, can I call you by your first name? I've tried to not do that so far on the show. I've referred to you as Mrs. Vonderheide.
No, I don't care.
Okay.
Hey,
my
I'm
wife,
Mrs. Vonderheide, too.
Oh, no. This is going to be really confusing.
Mm-hmm.
My wife, Kara, is here, and give us a minute. Just kind of talk about yourself and why you're qualified to critique me.
Well, it's probably because we've been married for...
Do the math.
How many years
15
now?
15 years. 15 years. Almost exactly, yeah. Because it's in less than a month, sweetheart.
Right.
Our anniversary.
So I do not have a background in broadcasting.
Mm-mm. But you did do a podcast of your own at one point.
I did.
Called Developing Courage. It's still online at developingcourage.com.
Oh, hopefully now we're going to talk about me.
Someday, Kara is a pediatric occupational therapist, so she does wonderful things with children who really need her. And she like makes a difference in the world. I just kind of talk to people.
Well, and the other part of my time I spend mothering our beautiful small people.
Right. That. Just kidding. But that's why you did the podcast. That's what your podcast was pertaining to, occupational therapy for the most part.
Yes.
Right. And parenting, I suppose.
Yes, a little bit of both.
Okay.
I had a partner who was a physical therapist who worked in pediatrics, and we brought in guests of different expertise and sometimes parents who had been through certain experiences. So.
And it's wonderful content still up there. I'm still paying for it too. Right. And my mother is here. You and your name?
Mrs. Vonderheide.
I came out of you.
Are you sure she's your mother? Do you remember?
Mrs. Vonderheide.
I'm Betsy, and I live in Madison, Indiana.
CEO of Retired, baby.
Yeah,
that's what it says on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. Every now and then it'll pop up like, Betsy Vonderheide is celebrating an anniversary. 3 years at Retire, baby.
I really like retirement.
I'm sure you do.
Yes, I do very much.
So I was born nearly 45 years ago, 44 and a half, I suppose.
I thought we quit halves, you know, when we got to high school.
October, I count. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Quite frankly, I should cut. Why am I trying to get older?
Yeah,
that doesn't make any sense.
Uh-huh.
And rather than give a capsule about yourself, why don't you talk about me? let's go decade by. How was I the first 10 years of my life?
All right. Well, you were born, and that was a good thing. And you
We've
had,
been waiting ever since.
You were the only one of my three with colic. And I felt so badly for you because you would suffer so terribly. But all of a sudden, magically, at 6 months, you just became the happy baby that you have been ever since.
Okay, for those 40-ish parents out there listening now who have children 10 and under, do you have any words of wisdom for them?
Oh, goodness. Look after yourself. It's very, very easy to turn your life over to other people. And then you come up for air and you say, what happened? What happened to me?
Yeah.
So I always think that people should look after themselves.
Do you think that is a common occurrence?
Oh, yeah.
People in there? What do you think, sweetheart? Do we tend to lose track of ourselves when there are small kids because there are, obviously a priority, right?
Oh, I see people in our peer group doing that maybe more than ever. Because we are living in this culture of kind of entitled kids, if you want to call it that. But that's the thing that people talk about a whole lot.
Controversial comments.
Perhaps. Yeah. But
you don't get a participation trophy for parenting.
Okay. So what was I saying?
You were saying that all of our friends have entitled kids.
No. I just mean I think people in our peer group give, we're running around all the time doing this and that and not always stopping to reflect if all of our activities are building up gifts in our kids or, certain talents that they have. Sometimes it does just become a lot of running around, and you just keep running around because that's what your habit is.
Well,
instead of stopping to say, is this best for us as a family? Is this best for this particular child or whatever? But
to a certain degree, and Mom, you can weigh in on this as well. Your heart is filled up with those activities.
No, yes, that's true. But, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, right now we're in a season, a literal season and a figurative season, where I'm coaching field hockey, our oldest of the team of our oldest child, right? So that leaves her two young siblings hanging out on the sidelines a lot. And you could say, well, gosh, they're not getting enough attention. They're not doing, you know, we're not doing enough things for them. But I also think it's good in building up in them that it's not always about them. So we all go through seasons, and I think it's good for our kids.
As opposed to being all about Dan.
Right.
I don't, you know, the great thing about me is I don't really need it to be all about me.
Yes, I know.
I don't think. I don't know.
Just
you guys might.
Kidding.
You guys might feel differently about that, but
no.
That's only because of maybe I've put off the wrong vibe.
So there. Now that I finished my thought, was that still controversial?
No, not at all.
Okay.
So I do think that when I look around and I think of myself, certainly I've done an episode of this show before where I said, you know, there are things about me that have changed that are not consistent with who I was. For instance, I don't know if you've even listened to this episode or not, where I talk about it's identity crisis stuff, where I was the rock and roll guy. Mm-hmm. And when the concert came to town, by God, I was not going to miss that rock and roll show. And that was the week that Ace Frehley from Kiss was downtown. I was like, eh. I didn't go.
Oh, come on. What happened to my baby?
Shocking, isn't it?
Uh-huh. But well, if you've seen Kiss lately, the spandex just keeps sinking lower and lower.
Oh, give me
but
a...
We'll just say that.
Just back off.
Yeah, it's true. It's not a good visual anymore.
Oh,
I'll
my
just
gosh.
Put it that
give
way.
Give me a break. Okay. And then last weekend, of course, I'm driving, you know, me and the soccer player are driving down to the, I can't believe it, the Louisville City Football Club. It was fun. Don't get me wrong. That's a great family event. It's a great organization, all that stuff. I've never been to a soccer game in my life. I could not care less about soccer. And me and the boy are driving down there, and I realize, oh, we're going to drive right past the Louder Than Life concert. I mean, it was a two-day rock festival with all these bands that I like. And I was like, oh, here we go again. That's just... And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. I'm just saying that your identity
and
does
shift. And I can assure you it's only temporary. That's the good part.
Really?
Because at some point you just say, ah, I think it's my turn now. And you just take your life back. Now, I mean, you won't reach that for a little while. But for a while, you're going to be doing that.
So when it does happen, I can just say, hey, look, I'm taking my life back.
Yeah, that's what you say.
Yeah, okay. Good advice. So let's go from 11 years old to 20 years old. What was I like?
Well,
and what was your life like?
My life was always chaos because I had the three kids under 4.5. So that was tough.
We've established that I'm 11.
Yeah.
So your timeline might be a little off.
We were the kind of parents that went to ball games and things like that, and split our time with families.
And ran a business, really.
Yeah, we did. That upset me a lot. We were a florist, and my husband was the artist, and I just went along for the ride. And I did the billing and all that sort of thing, and I didn't like it.
So what year did you go back to work then? How old were we?
I think Jane was a senior in high school. Well,
no.
It was 87. Yeah, I think it was 86 or 86. Well, no, I mean, that was at the hospital, not the flower shop. The flower shop I did it when Davey was one, and so you would have been three.
Yeah, but I thought I was much younger when you went back to work at the hospital.
No.
Oh, all right.
Mm-hmm.
Emotionally, perhaps.
Well,
but I thought I was...
And this isn't about you, this is about your younger brother who...
Well, most things are.
Yes, that's right. When he was 10, he approached me and he says, Mom, don't you have a college education? And I said, yeah. And he said, don't you think you ought to be out there earning money for us? And so, yeah. Can you believe that? So I...
Will you move closer to the microphone?
I went...
Thank you.
...to work, and then he was the one who suffered because I didn't bake cookies.
He became a latchkey kid.
He'd say,
all of
where am, yeah, where are my cookies? Where are my special things? And yes, and other people had to raise my kids. I didn't like that.
Do you think that is... Has the pendulum swung back, so to speak? And I of course... I have my own experience with my wife here. Like, she stays at home most of the time and raises the children, and that's Generation X.
I also have a college degree.
Yeah, I know.
So I'm out there earning a little bit of money.
Right. Generation X identifies ourselves to a great degree as latchkey children. That's when that whole thing was born. Is that different now? Are more moms home than they were when we were kids?
Gee, I don't know.
I don't know. Well, what do you think, sweetheart?
I say yes, compared to the 80s, maybe early 90s. I think you had people making active choices to stay home full time or to make the best of part-time opportunities. You know, people like me who can be out there earning a little bit, but they've found their niche of flexibility.
Yeah,
in the professions that they choose, or some of the mompreneurs, of, you know, that's
right,
kind of a word or a thing now, yeah, where people can do their work, but they do it from home.
Stephanie's a mompreneur.
Right,
she's
exactly.
She's not here to stick up for herself.
Well, going back to what I said earlier about losing yourself, had I to do it again, I would have had some kind of an outside employment when you kids, say, were in school, and then I would be home when you got home. Just for my brain, because when I got back in the workforce, I thought, oh, my God. I can't think. Hmm. It was like cobwebs or something.
Did you feel
terrible,
as if the world had started to pass you by?
No.
Maybe a little bit?
No, it just felt like.
You would, yeah. I mean, the internet has changed a lot of that stuff. If you drop out for 2 or 3 years and then you come back, you're like, uh-oh, what just happened?
It's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, we did an episode on that, too. Mm-hmm. We here at 40-ish have our finger on the pulse of what's happening in the world.
Yes, indeed.
Right. Okay, so between 11, you were at home for most of the time, but then by the time I turned, certainly when I was in college, you had been back to work for some time. You know what the weird thing is, and I'm sure that everybody can relate to this, 10 years, between 10 and 20, it's like forever.
Yeah.
Compared to the 10 years between 30 and 40, say, you know, when I was having children, time speeds up. Mm-hmm. Of course,
they say when you get over the hill, it goes a lot faster downhill.
Boom, boom, boom. But I'm completely lost in my train of thought.
Nope.
So never mind.
That's my job.
You're a different person entirely at 11 than you are at 20.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, because you've had experiences, and I think that's one of the. I'm just talking a lot here, but. That's one of the cruxes of being in your 40s is you have experiences on which you can draw. And so
absolutely.
You, right.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, I like to quote the lady who wrote The Happiness Project. Props to Gretchen Rubin. That's her name. But she says that, look, you know, you should reflect on what you were doing a lot. What activities did you spend a lot of time doing when you were 10 years old? And that will tell you a lot about what you end up doing as an adult. And if it doesn't, then you're probably doing the wrong things.
You want to know something interesting? When Mom and I were walking up the steps, I said, do you remember when I was a kid and Chris Cooper would come over? His kid lived down on the next block. And we'd have a tape recorder and we would make up little things on
exactly.
the tape recorder. Mm-hmm. And then Mark Humphrey and I would sing, you know, Tutti Frutti, O Rudy, tape player. Oh, what I wouldn't give to have some of those tapes. They got to be around somewhere, but they're dead. Probably rotten.
Yeah, so I think about that when I see, you know, our kids doing things around the house. You know, if they're left with some unstructured time, what are they choosing to do, and how does that, what does that say about their gifts and talents and what they might energy from?
You know, you don't make a living by just reading. I was alone a lot. Growing up, we lived sort of out in the country.
What was that like? Oh, when you were a kid. I see. I thought you were talking about
Well, okay. And they're the only kids in the neighborhood were boys, so I was pretty much, unless I participated in some kind of sport, I was out of luck. I didn't have anybody to play with, so I did read a lot. I spent a lot of time by myself.
Hmm.
So you learn to like that.
Yeah.
You know, that's been kind of hard for me as a mother, speaking of losing yourself, and I think about that every once in a while. I was a fourth kid, but quite a bit younger than my siblings. So that meant I spent a lot of time by myself growing up, which was, you know, probably not the worst thing for somebody of my temperament. I'm kind of on the border of extrovert versus introvert. So I do need a lot of time by myself, but I certainly am not getting it in this season of life. So yesterday I had Dan take the kids to a school function and I stayed home and I didn't even turn on the radio. There was just silence whole day.
It's a wonderful feeling.
And yep. I didn't want to miss that family thing at all because that is not my style, but I made myself stay home in the silence just because, you know, sometimes I just need to go back to being at home by myself.
I had the children eat extra cookies on your behalf.
Great.
And chocolate, or sorry, powdered donuts.
Oh.
And let's see, there was some cake there.
And where was I?
It was good. Yes. Dad day, right? Yes. Usually has a lot of sugar involved.
Indulgements.
Right. Okay, so now my young adulthood, 20 to 30, where were you?
I was busy reestablishing myself in the community, and I had a lot of public relations jobs at that point, and I was also working for city government at that time. So I was involved in tons and tons.
Yeah.
Yes, I was. And so I went right from busy mom.
And by this time, Dave was out of the house.
Yeah.
So you guys were empty nesters. Mm-hmm. Dad was, he sold the shop in the mid 90s, right?
Yes, but then he took a position
I know, but that's not the same thing.
Yeah. Well,
so he could sit there and read and drink iced tea all day.
Well, you know? Which he really liked.
Yes, and he got paid for it.
Yeah.
So he
that's
sort
what he was doing when he was 10 years old.
Yeah.
Yes. Reading and drinking iced tea.
Guarantee it. Or gutting fish. So he semi-retired, and you went in
full
bore.
He was almost 12 years older than I, so he was like in a different kind of paradigm. And so I was out there. When I was home with the kids, he was out there doing it. And when I was out there doing it, he got to stay home and eat bonbons.
But you, and so you reestablished yourself in the community. Mm-hmm. And I've said it on this show in the past, you are the unofficial mayor of Madison. Yeah. I think many people would agree with that statement.
I think that's an overstatement, but thank you.
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. and that was another 20 years that you were
easy. I mean, that was...
So that's like a whole other lifetime.
Yeah, it was. Well, they say you might have seven different jobs or careers in your life. That was certainly true of me.
Hmm.
I started out in radio, TV, and
we can all tell.
Yes. Then I moved on to wife and motherhood, and then I moved on to being a florist, and then I moved on to being a writer, a health care writer, and then I moved on and public relations person. Then I moved on to city government and did that, and then I went on after that to be an environmental educator. So I mean, I really did a lot of different things.
And yeah, but that environmental thing, that didn't really count. I'm just kidding.
It was my favorite of all of my jobs.
Jeez.
I loved that.
Yeah. Okay, so for those of us in our 40s, I think that we tend to live in the season of life in which we currently reside, but there are many seasons beyond. Is that a fair statement?
I have to tell you, your program is about the 40s, but my age in the 50s, from 50 to 60, was my very favorite decade of my entire life.
Oh, so you're on the down
slide. Yeah, I am on the down.
Great.
But you have that to look forward to.
That's good to know, though, because it's almost easy to get caught in the trap of, you know, most people in their 30s perhaps those are their main childbearing years, and when you get past that and you don't have the babies anymore and you realize that they're going to grow up and do other things one day, it's a little bit of, what am I going to do?
Yeah, I know.
Right.
You kind of lose a little bit of what you look forward to because you looked forward to them for so long. And
yes, exactly. I just really, I felt like I achieved what I was supposed to, or the nirvana or something that you're supposed to in life at that time. And now I've gone even higher.
So I don't know. I can't speak for you, Kara, but I have a hard time seeing that. Past that, like once, and it's not. It happens, as everybody says. Don't blink, your kids are gonna grow up. Right, it's gonna be, So I'm very deliberately present, as you know, at times with the children,
Now you also had your children later in life than I did too. So you're period of glee, like my 50s might be, you know, mid-50s to mid-60s, something like that.
Because my body still works.
I hate to put it off, yeah.
I don't know. But I'm not trying to look forward. I'm not trying to rush anybody out of the house. Just making sure my wife understands me there. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I don't know that we've really talked much about what that looks like.
No, I'm a living in the present kind of a girl. So, you know, I am finding such purpose and joy right now in this season of not only building into our kids and, you know, seeing the fruits of that later, but also other people's kids too through coaching or, you know, my kids that I see at work. And
I just try not to run them over when I...
but just... I think about, you know, the outcomes of that for them in 10 years maybe, but I'm a think about other people kind of a person.
Okay, so am I.
No, I'm I just mean
thanks. The bus backing up over me.
Oh, were we talking about you again?
No, okay. I guess I was thinking about me though.
I can tell.
Well, good times are ahead. That is my final word on this.
Final answer.
Yes.
Okay. Is that or can we consider those your words of wisdom?
Absolutely. It just gets better. Okay. It just gets better.
Dig. I can dig. We didn't even get into my, evaluation that they had done on me in 1979 when I was 7 years old to see whether or not I was gifted. Spoiler alert, I am.
It was not a surprise to us.
Well, and there are some interesting things in here that we can all read, but maybe I'll do that in a different episode or something. Yeah. We got a field hockey game to hit.
I have to go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, great.
It's time for me to go.
Oh, it just sounded like the tea is done. Thank you, the two of you. I love you both.
We love you.
Bye-bye.